TCJ Radio International presents Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
First of all, Hedy, it's wonderful to see you again. The last time we had a chat was way back in 1997, and at that time, I remember it was a bit of a traumatic event for you because you were just selling the hotel and restaurant, which actually helped very much to put Gstaad on the map, the Hotel Olden. You were even born in the hotel, weren't you?
That's right, upstairs. And my parents owned it. And I had to take over when I was 30 years old. My mother died very young. And from then on, I just kept on working.
Now, you have the hotel and restaurant business literally in your blood. It's something which is getting harder and harder to find these days. Someone who actually grew up, who had it in the family since generations. You're a hotelier through and through. You lived it and breathed it.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I must say, I got to know of many of the Gstaad clients, three generations, because they were in school here, then they came back after the war, and then they had their families here, built their chalets, and so it, I really know many, many people.
I'd like to go back a bit in between. When you were a young woman, you had quite a singing career. You embarked on a singing career, and you were quite successful and very well known at the time. We're going back, I believe, in the 1950s and 1960s. You were still featured on radio there, Geneva Bern, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I was singing on Radio Geneva with Le Grand Ensemble de Radio Genève. The orchestra was called Tony Bell. And then I was transferred to Basel, where there was this new orchestra called Cédric Dumont, and it was more of a jazz orchestra. And with them, I've made something like 25 titles.
Many of them very, very well known. The great songs of the 40s, 50s, and early 60s, but especially, I believe, the 50s. That was your repertoire, wasn't it?
Yes, definitely. I think, because I'd been listening to AFN Munich when I was very young. I was a student at the hotel school.
As the American Forces radio in Germany,
right,
at the time.
That's right. And we had to put out the lights in our rooms at 9 o'clock. So then I went underneath the cover and I had a little lamp underneath, and I used to copy all the songs because I couldn't buy them here. And then when I came home on the weekend, I wrote the melody that I remembered. I wrote it since I played the piano. I wrote the melodies down. That's how I came to sing all the evergreens.
You mentioned listening to AFN. Did you have an American influence? Your accent is certainly more American than it is British.
Yes, definitely. Because, well, we had a lot of American clients. At the end of the war, many of the ex-Rose boys came back, and many of them were American.
Now, this was a famous school in Gstaad.
It was a very famous school. It still is here. Mm-hmm. And now they have girls, too. And that's how I got to learn English much more with Americans than with English people, because English people came much later.
And being here almost literally on the linguistic border, just a couple of miles down the road already, Châteaudet, they already speak French. So I know your French is perfect, and I think you manage pretty good Italian as well.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Italian, German, a little bit of Spanish, not much. But talking of Châteaudet, I'm just reading the book of David Niven. And he used to be such a faithful client.
He lived there.
He lived there, yes. And once he said to me, because he came practically every day for lunch to the Olden, because he went skiing here, and then he said, "Oh, Hedy, why did I ever buy that chalet in Châteaudet? I have to go back and forth all the time." I said, "David, because you were too stingy to pay the tax." "You're probably right," he said.
You mentioned a tax, and I recall there, I interviewed David Niven years ago. He was just as much the gentleman in person as he was on the screen. He was absolutely David Niven through and through. And You mentioned attacks. You were also engaged in politics here locally, and quite a number of years ago you were successful in convincing the local voters to bring in a tax, a kind of culture tax, to help keep the village looking the way it looks. Tell us about that.
I almost forgot that.
I didn't.
Well, I was the first woman on the community board, and that was in 74. And the only good thing I ever made in those 4 years is I created a tax, 1.50 francs per person living in the commune.
Per year.
Per year. It's not it's a very small sum.
It's not a make it or break it tax.
But I also asked the commune of Gsteig and Lauenen if they would help, and they agreed. So the vote went through. And since then, we have about 15,000 francs a year in that fund. And with that money, we've been renovating the old farmhouses, the outside, because usually the farmers just cannot afford to spend between... Sometimes we renovated houses that have very rich painting that comes up to 40,000 francs. Then a farmer just cannot pay for that. And then all those beautiful things disappear because they're being burnt out by the sun, because those are houses usually from 17th, 18th century that have magnificent lettering and paintings. And if we don't renovate them, they'll be lost forever.
And it's called Boerenmalerij in the dialect, or literally translated, farm or farmer's art.
Yes.
It's a very, I don't know what the artistic critics would say, it's a very naive kind of art. Yes, flowers and typical scenes.
Birds and, yes. In America, you call it Pennsylvania Dutch.
Do you know that story that they're not the Dutch at all, but there's an interesting story? I don't want to interrupt this. I heard this about this from some research. Americans, of course, listening to this will say Pennsylvania Dutch,
yes,
and they think of the Dutch from Holland.
Yeah.
And if you go there, it's very kitschy. There's some wooden shoes out.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to research, serious research, it had nothing to do whatsoever with the Dutch, but with the Dutch.
The
Dutch, because the people from the Emmental, the Swiss who emigrated in the 19th century already to Pennsylvania and some other places, they went together with a lot of the southern Germans, and they spoke a similar dialect. And when they talked about the Germans, the High German word is Deutsch, and in the dialect it comes out as Dutch. And people who didn't know the language thought they were talking about the Dutch, but it's the Pennsylvania Dutch or the German Swiss. Dutch Schweitzer,
yes,
who did that.
I've seen some of the work, Pennsylvania Dutch painting, and it is absolutely like our painting here.
You'll see it everywhere here.
Sure.
Anyone who has been in the Bernese Oberland, especially around this area, the Simmental, where the cattle come from as well, the Simmental cattle, wood characterizes everything. And historically, it was the substance, the material that people had and built with it. And I guess you were fighting against a certain amount of resistance, in the sense that maybe at the time some people thought we should get modern and put everything with concrete and steel and show our modern side. You fought that.
Oh, yes.
And some people I know think that was what saved Gstaad and largely what made it what it is today and kept its popularity.
We were a few people in the community, in the council, who really were extremely careful about handing out permits, building permits for chalets, because there was an American, I remember at the beginning, he wanted to put up an American ranch up behind the Alpina Hotel. Well, he came up with four different layers of plans. It always sort of became more and more a chalet, but it was just not a chalet. And finally he was so cross, he left. He sold this piece of land and he left. And that's when we said we have to make a law, a very solid law, that you can only build Sahnenhaus.
In the traditional style.
In the traditional style. It has to have the exact sloping of the slope of the roof, the dimension, and we were very careful about that, and it really saved the valley.
You mentioned Sanan. This is the sister community where Yehudi Menuhin lived, and of course he founded the famous concerts there in the church in Sanan. Technically, Gstaad is a part of Sanan. It's not the other way around.
Oh, absolutely. We belong to the commune of Sanan, mm-hmm. and we are buried in Sanan. We don't have a cemetery in Gstaad.
Did you know Yehudi Menuhin too?
Oh yes, certainly. He came to the Olden very much. He always took fondue chinoise, and he always brought all his children and grandchildren and the famous artists that came for the concerts, like Anne-Sophie Mutter and Ashkenazi and all those famous artists who used to come and play for his concerts. And he always brought them to the Olden. It was great fun.
It was incredible during the summer season, the concert season. There was probably more great violin and other classic talent assembled in Sanan and Gstaad than almost anywhere else in one place.
Yeah, it was amazing because since Yehudi Menuhin knew all the best musicians in the world, and for to come here, he invited them to his chalet. And they were making music in his music room. And it was like a big family. And we got all those very famous musicians at a very reasonable price. Because it was always amongst friends. Because otherwise the commune could not have paid for them.
And those concerts go on today. The tradition continues.
Yes. Luckily it goes on. And it goes on very well.
Hedy Olden, I'd like to ask you to drop a few names. We'll go back to the Hotel Olden, which was known during your entire career as the meeting place in town for the famous people. Now, the list is so long, it's a little bit difficult to go down all of it. But let's, off the top of your head, who were the people who came to eat at the Olden, who came to visit you almost literally every day in the heyday of the Olden?
Well, to be frank, I remember one day...
To be frank, Frank Sinatra.
To be frank, yes. Well, it was during the holiday, and it had been snowing a lot, and then it was pouring rain.
This is always around Christmas, New Year. This was the time.
Yeah. And they were all here, and they all came to lunch at the Olden. I tell you who was here. There was Linda Evans. There was Joan Collins. There was Julie Andrews with Blake Edwards. There was Roger Moore. There was R.J. Wagner. There was Kurt Jurgens. There was Polanski. There was Jack Nicholson. There was David Niven. Another table with Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton. Then there was Liza Minnelli and Shirley Bassey. Then there was Frank Sinatra, Peter Sellers, and they were all in the restaurant that same lunch.
You had room enough for all these people.
It was unbelievable. It was Hollywood, and outside the hotel there were about 40 photographers standing in the pouring rain waiting for them all to come out of the restaurant. It was really something.
Well, you mentioned some singing stars, of course, there, and you have actually sung together with them. I think right off the bat, Liza Minnelli, she was a regular here, and there was a place downstairs in the Olden, it still exists, called La Cave, the cellar. This was sort of the cozy hideaway where people went in the evenings. Yeah. And when you went through the shadows there, you really had no idea who you were going to find sitting at the tables.
Yeah, that's right. And Liza Minnelli came in, and a whole bunch of friends, and then they were dancing Scotch reels, and then we were singing together. I started to sing, and then she came right over and took the microphone, and she started to sing second voice with me. And, well, we had a ball. Then she started to sing New York, and the roof almost came off. It was tremendous. And it was really something. And in another corner, there was Shirley Bassey. And she always came in when there was the birthday of her son, who was at the Rosé. And when she would sing Happy Birthday for her boy, it made tears come to my eyes. Her voice was unbelievable.
The reason why people came to Gstaad, there are many facets to it. You mentioned one at the very beginning, and that is the fine some of them, not only finishing schools, but other great institutions here. Rougemont was very famous. Kings came here. I think of King Hussein of Jordan was a student there. And so many of these prominent people were there either themselves. I believe Roger Moore was a student there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then their children went.
Renier from Monaco.
Prince Renier,
He was together at the school with the Shah from Iran and King Hussein.
So these people had a Swiss education, really.
Duke of Kent. So many of the famous ones. And King Hussein came to the Olden to have lunch a year before he died. He came to visit Gstaad because he was down in Lausanne for 3 days. And he came to the Olden.
He was in treatment there, I believe.
Yeah, he always drove up to the Olden to have lunch. And he came with his wife, his beautiful Noor, and two of the little boys. And I had a long, long chat with him. He wanted to know everything about the Swiss farmers, the way the Swiss farmers live, and how they change. They go up the mountain, they live up in the mountains and do their cheese up there. And he was really so interested. And also the fact of this renovating of old houses, he was most interested. I spoke almost 2 hours with him.
You touched on something, Hetty Olden, which is crucial to the reason why Gstaad has remained so popular. Maybe it's a different crowd now. We can talk about that soon. But the mystique of Gstaad is that it was never Disneyland. This was all genuine. The farmers used to come into the Olden to have their coffee and sometimes a schnapps in the morning. These were real people, and their heads were never turned by all of the prominent people here. They were never spoiled by it, and the village life continued. And all of these people you mentioned, and others, they came here because they knew they would be left alone and they could really enjoy life like anyone else.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I remember at the, what we call the Pinte, it's the cafe that I had at the Olden, where all the local people came to. The farmers came to have their café maison.
It's a German word for a pint.
And the workmen came in their overalls after their work to have their beer, and then you have all the shikimiki were coming in too, and they Richard Burton and Elizabeth, they used to sit in a corner there all afternoon playing Yahtzee and drinking one demi-liter de Beaujolais after the other, being slap happy, you know, and nobody turned their head around. They really felt at home here.
This has perhaps given the village of Gstaad the false reputation of being exclusive, glittery, and impossibly expensive for ordinary people. This is simply not true, is it?
It's absolutely not true. It's the same as everywhere.
And it's unspoiled. I mean, it looks the same constantly. It hardly changes.
It hardly changes. They've built a lot, but always in the good style. And now we have the village that has no more cars, which is an amazing improvement. The village looks so much more pretty, and people can walk on down. All the little kiddies can run around and let the little doggies stray and all that. It really... well, some people were very cross because they have to do 1 minute through a tunnel, 1 minute. And that 1 minute is too much because then many people who have their Ferraris and Rolls Royce...
They want to be seen.
Yeah. They said, well, it was such fun to come up and down that village 5 times, you know, just to be seen. Yeah. And, well, that's over now.
Yeah.
Maybe that took a bit away from the glamour, but never mind.
It made it more of a family resort, didn't it?
Yes. It has become more of a family resort. And I think many of the famous stars are not around anymore. And all the young stars who are now, all the rock people and all that, they all go to the seasides, Seychelles and all those places. Yeah.
Well, the tradition, of course, has changed with the generations. But there are certainly those who do come back still of the original set.
All the ones that have their own chalet, they come back. Now their children are coming back and their grandchildren are here now in school. It's all little groups. They stay amongst themselves in their chalets. They make their parties in the chalets because they're such beautiful chalets, such luscious chalets, that they like to show them. You see this, the orchid here on my table?
Mm-hmm.
I got them from Julie Andrews for Christmas, and she was here at the chalet, and we had a long, long chat together. She's still quite faithful.
I'd like to go back to art for a moment. You not only created the culture tax, got it through, but also you've done so much of this work yourself. You decorated the hotel, your chalet here called the Chalet Olden, and even the railroad bridge outside has got your artwork. So if people come to Gstaad, if they admire that beautiful farm art, that's Hedy Olden's work. This is an unfair question, Hedy, but is it possible for you to say, of all of those literally scores of so well-known people who came here, did you have a favorite?
I love Julie. And I really like Roger Moore a lot.
Unfortunately, he's no longer here.
No.
Yeah, he went to, I think, Monte Carlo, didn't he?
He's in Monte Carlo, but he has a chalet now in Cron,
Montana.
That's because of his divorce. Yeah. And we were very sad.
He lost his chalet to his ex-wife.
Yeah, we were very sad because everybody loved Roger.
Does he still turn up once in a while?
Sometimes.
Well, it's clear to anyone listening to you that your heart and soul were in the Hotel Olden. Certainly, you're a native daughter of this village, and you live here today, and you are just so well known everywhere. Yet you had to make the difficult decision, I believe it was around 1997, to give up the Olden. You sold it and went into retirement. Was that a hard decision for you to make?
Extremely hard. I thought I'd die when I got out of that place. I was like, I can't explain. I couldn't move anymore. I was completely blocked. And I told my maître d', I said, take everything out of my apartment, put it up to the chalet, wherever you wish. I just can't move. And it was really, well, it was part of my heart that left. And it went kaput. But it's been taken good care of, and the new manager is very nice, and I've spoken to Bernie Ecclestone, who's now the owner. He's a very sweet man, and I met him on the street, and I said, listen, Bernie, now you go to the Olden and please have them redo the shutters, because they have to be painted. They look dreadful. Oh, I didn't know that. I go and have a look. So I'm sure it's going to be done.
Is that a job for you, maybe?
No, definitely not. No, but
you wouldn't want to work again in the Olden. Once you left, you left.
No. I left, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe you get a little bit depressed about it once in a while, thinking how it used to be, and if only I could go back to those days. Or have you learned to live with it? Do you cope with it?
Oh, I've definitely learned to live with it. I had to do it the hard way. But I got busy right away. I went to the music school, took up my piano lessons again, and I've been taking lessons now for 7 years, and I'm playing quite well again. I play every day, and I have my studio up here in the chalet, and I paint, and I keep myself busy.
And you have a big family, too.
I have a nice family, sweet, very sweet grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been to visit you several times over the years, and we're talking about quite a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, you never change. You always look the same. You sound the same. The energy is still there. The twinkling in the eye, that brightness, it's always there. You must be doing something right.
Well, I hope so.
Good air here, too.
Good air and good atmosphere, and I love my valley. Every time I go out, I have the same joy. No matter where I go, it's beautiful. And then I feel fine.
We go back to the beginning.
Yes.
Hedy Olden, the singer, and your singing career. Not long ago, there was a benefit concert given here, and you got a couple of friends together, and it was for the benefit of the local hospital.
Yes.
And you've given me so kindly the CD. It's a private recording, and everyone worked without royalties or anything like this, and it's called Hedy at the Olden.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several titles here, and I asked you which one you would like me to play, and you said right away, What a Wonderful World. Apparently it was a very emotional event for you.
Oh, yes. It was, well, they asked me if I would come and sing for that evening, because it was already 3-4 years that I had left the Olden. And it was sort of a going down memory lane. And when I started to sing, a lot of the clients who were all friends of mine, I think I knew every single face. I've seen them cry. I've also seen men cry, who are very important people. And when I saw that, they had tears in their eyes. Honest to goodness, my heart was beating so fast.
I don't want to be indiscreet, but I almost detect a tear or two coming into your eyes, Hetty Olden, the way you told that. We've been talking to Hetty Olden, the Grand Lady of Gstaad, a legend in her own time, part of the scene here in Gstaad, and a woman who has done so much over the years to make Gstaad what it is. An interesting, fascinating story. I wish you many, many years of happiness and hobnobbing with the notables. Thank you, Hetty Olden.
I'm ever so happy to see all your lovely faces. And many of you I've known a little while. Well, I'm really thrilled to be in my Olden again, where I've been working so hard, and I've been singing in this little corner for 50 years. But I had a very good time. I had a very good time. We all had a good time, right? So I'll dedicate my first little theme song to our beautiful valley. It's a little paradise. It's our little paradise. And we're going to take good care of it. Okay? My heart goes going. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
We're just listening to Switzerland in Sound with Bob Zanotti. For more information, go to www.switzerlandinsound.com.